This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Our first reading today comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2, and then 19 to 29. Psalm 118 gives thanks to God for his deliverance. All four Gospels report that the crowd recited a portion of this psalm as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Let us join our voices in joyful thanks, knowing that because of Christ's death, we too may experience God's deliverance. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Open the gates of righteousness for me, so I can come in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. Those who are righteous enter through it. I thank you because you answered me, because you were my saving help. The stone rejected by the builders is now the main foundation stone. This has happened because of the Lord. It is astounding in our sight. This is the day the Lord acted. We will rejoice and celebrate in it. Lord, please save us. Lord, please let us see. The one who enters into the Lord's name is blessed. We bless all of you from the Lord's house. The Lord is God. He has shined a light on us. So lead the festival offering with ropes all the way to the horns of the altar. You are my God, I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will lift you up high. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, the 19th chapter. Begin in verse 28. Jesus continued on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As Jesus came to Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he gave two of his disciples a task. He said, "Go into the village over there. When you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'Its master needs it.' Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'Its master needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their clothes on the colt, and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. They said, 'Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. All right. Well, that was kind of a different way to come into church, wasn't it? Kind of like a parade, wasn't it? Who's been to a parade before? Yeah. Have you seen palms at a parade? Not really, no. Well, Palm Sunday is kind of like the kickoff, the celebration, the start of Holy Week. Now, did you really listen to what Pastor was just reading just now? Did it ever say anything about a palm? It didn't, did it? So maybe we should call it Take Off Your Coat Day instead of Palm Sunday, right? Because they were taking off their coats and laying them down like a red carpet. Have you ever seen a red carpet when they roll the red carpet out? And that's kind of a special thing, right? you would lay that down as respect for someone. Well, the people were so excited to see Jesus. And they were waving their palms. There is story. This story is actually told in all of the Gospels. And John is the only one that ever says palm branches. Yep. The other two say tree branches or something like that. But Luke just talks about the clothes. So they were excited to see Jesus. They were super excited. Just like the parade, kind of. And did Jesus come in a float or a fancy sports car? No. That's only nowadays, right? Yeah. Yep. But we have lots of fancy cars outside. We could do that for Jesus here. So he came on what did he come on? He came on a donkey or a colt. And there's special reasons why it was a donkey or a colt. It wasn't a war horse, was it? It wasn't something that showed I have great power. It was kind of a humble thing, a thing to say, I'm here in peace. And in the Old Testament, there was a prophet that talked about how the Messiah would come. So it was important that he came that way. So the people were there and they were super excited and they started to raise their palm branches because they were around, put down their clothes, their coats, and lay them down. And they shouted, Hosanna, which means save us. The people wanted Jesus to save them, right? They had ideas of what that would be to save them. They wanted Jesus to save them from the political people, the people who were kind of in charge at that time, and they wanted him to take care of all that. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. He saved them from something even bigger. So by the end of the week, do you know what happens in this week? What happens on Good Friday and then Easter? Do you know? Yeah, he died on the cross. They were shouting, Hosanna, save us, and they were so excited to see Jesus. But by the end of the week, he kind of changed their mind. But Jesus did raise on Easter Sunday. He saved us from something even bigger than just that. Sometimes we have ideas of how God should do things. We have prayers, and we pray for something, and then we think that God needs to do this just how I said. Anybody ever have that? Where you pray a prayer, and you know how it's going to all have to be, and God just needs to do what you say. But God has other things in mind, different ways. Just like the people expected Jesus to save them, he did save them, but not in the way he thought. They thought. So there are days when we maybe get frustrated, days when we maybe get confused, or maybe days when we get a little angry at God because we have expectations of what God should do. And what we need to be doing is continuously praising God and knowing in our hearts that God loves us and will take care of us always. So have a good take off your coat day because it's going to be nice outside. And let's take a little time and let's say a prayer to God, thanking God for this beautiful Palm Sunday. Loving God, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, help us to remember the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem and all the adults and all the children cheered and waved their branches. Help us to remember that we can praise and celebrate Jesus every single day. We are grateful that you are always with us. And we ask that you would help us to make good choices. And we thank you for loving us and forgiving us even when we mess up. Thank you for saving us, and we thank you for the working in our lives even in those unexpected ways. We pray that you will help us to share the love that you give to us with everyone that we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we give you thanks for this journey through Lent. We thank you for the week ahead of us. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you will do. Send your Spirit upon us and allow us to hear your word, so that the words I speak, the words we hear, will be your words, and that you will be praised. Amen. My Hebrew professor in seminary stressed to every class that went through the importance of the word Hosanna. Hosanna, coming to us out of the psalm that we read today, is transliteration of a Hebrew. So the Hebrew word is Hoshiana. And so we've just taken Hoshiana and kind of Englishized it and made it into Hosanna, a little easier to say, less syllables. Hoshiana becomes Hosanna. But Hosanna, as Jennifer mentioned, it doesn't mean just, yay, it's great, it's a celebration. Last year, I focused on the original meaning of Hosanna, how it means, Lord, save us, we beg you. And not just to save us and allow us to succeed on our own, but to save us from ourselves, to save us from human power, human control, oppression caused by selfishness. And that is what was being shouted that day as Jesus came into Jerusalem. Last year, I concluded my sermon with this prayer. Do not save us by the manner in which we seek revenge or seek to bring the things of this world back to the ways of our youth. Save us by allowing us to embrace the mystery of your Spirit breaking into our lives, by allowing us to fully encounter the risen Lord, by allowing us to encounter your transcendence in the everyday and ordinary. Many of you over this past year, not just that week last year, but over the entire year, have lived that out. You've embraced it as a new way of living, a renewed way of living. It's encouraging to hear the stories of the ways in which you see God at work. As we met throughout Lent, to hear the stories of where do you see God at work? In the workplace, in the stores, everyday, ordinary moments. God is at work in our lives. This year, as I looked at Palm Sunday, all the excitement of it, the joy, Hosanna, waving the palm branches, all of that, as Jennifer mentioned in her children's moment, we don't have, in Luke's account, Hosanna. We don't have the people waving the palm branches. Through Luke's lens, the way that Luke writes it, he has something else that's much more important. Luke's gospel doesn't really have anything as a wow factor to this story, at least not as I read through it. It just kind of goes through and it tells the stories, but it's a little bit odd, maybe more so odd for me growing up on a farm and knowing how animals are when they're not around human beings. If you've ever had a cat or a dog or any kind of an animal that has not been around human beings, it goes into flight mode, fight mode. It does not just naturally come up and say, oh, hi. You have to kind of coax them and they need to get used to it. So here in Luke's gospel, we have this minor little miracle. Jesus tells his disciples, hey, go off to this town on the side and steal a donkey. I mean, grab a donkey that's there. Basically, it's stealing it in a sense, you know. I mean, they're not renting it or anything. They just go out there and they grab it. And the owner's like, hey, hey, what are you doing? That donkey's never been ridden on. You don't want to untie that thing. It's going to run off. Its master has need of it. Okay. And they bring it over and they put their coats on it. Now, right away, most horses, donkeys, things like that, they're going to try to get rid of it. I was washing my dog this week and just having soap on her back for a moment as I let her walk around. She was running around trying to figure out, what's that on my back? Animals don't like that. And yet, this donkey apparently went right along with it, so much so that they lifted Jesus up and set Jesus on the donkey. The donkey's fine with it. Jesus is not an ordinary human being. There is a peace in the midst of that setting. It's not so much about the triumphant shouts and the giant parade coming into town. Luke's gospel is filled with peace. There's a multitude of angels when Jesus is born. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Here, there's a multitude of disciples shouting peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Our world needs peace. Peace in a biblical sense is more than just a lack of conflict. It's not just silence. It's something much deeper, much broader, all-encompassing sense of fulfillment, of wholeness. It has to do with the Old Testament concept of shalom, which is beyond most of our comprehensions. All is well. It's when everything comes together, everyone gets along, and everyone is all on that same page doing the same exact thing. There is a sense of peace. It's a peace that is more than what the world has to offer to us, more than what the world can give to us. Here in Luke's gospel, he emphasizes peace. Rather than shouting out, Hosanna, Lord, save us, Luke rewords that. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. I have to wonder if Luke intentionally avoided that concept and the imagery of that triumphant, powerful, glorious entry into Jerusalem. Because as historians have noted, about this same time, there would have been another parade on the other side of town. Jesus came from the east, from Bethany, Bethphage, Mount of Olives, through the Kidron Valley, and up into the east side of Jerusalem. But on the west side, coming from the Mediterranean, would have been this large Roman parade, bringing in the king, the God of the time for the Romans. And maybe Luke wanted to intentionally not connect those two together. But yet he hinted at it as the Pharisees are saying, hey, shh, don't make a big scene. We don't want the Romans who are on the other side of town to know about this. We don't need to get their attention. We don't want to get in the way of them worshiping their God, the emperor. To which Jesus says, if they're quiet, the stones are going to shout. We can't hide it. How many times do we quiet ourselves? Sometimes it's the best thing to do. Sometimes saying less is saying more. And there are times when we're better off not saying exactly what we're thinking. But there are also times that we need to bear witness and we need to praise God. That we need to cry out that Jesus is King. that Jesus is the Messiah. In our world today, we get frustrated when microphones don't work, or lighting isn't perfect, or car doesn't start, or the garage door doesn't open, or the food's not quite ready on time, or the food got burned. All of these things that we kind of call first world problems. And yet there are so many people even here in our own community who don't have a home, let alone food. People who are going hungry. People who don't have a bed to sleep in. People who don't have family to go to. It's easy as we listen to the news reports to get weighed down with all that is happening, all of the death, the brutality, the oppression, the bombings on Palm Sunday morning earlier today in Ukraine, Israeli airstrikes in a hospital in Gaza City, attacks on camps of people who fled from civil war in Sudan, people still recovering from hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, drought. People in our own personal networks, our own circles of friendships, encountering loss of employment, loss of finances, loss of health care, loss of relationships, losses of emotional support. We don't need to look too far before we drop to our knees, and we need to boldly pray, Lord Jesus, save us. Let your heavenly peace abound. Sometimes it feels helpless. We can't stop the wars that are happening overseas by ourselves, and yet we can pray. But yet we can have an impact in our own lives, giving praise to God for those little things that happen, telling our stories, being able to say those moments when we realize that it's because of Jesus' resurrection that we have hope. Hope in the midst of everything seemingly going wrong. In those moments, when we are feeling a little death within ourselves, having to give up something, being broken, having to repent, being able to know and to tell others, it's not the end of the world. As we go into this Holy Week, where do we see ourselves in this story? Are we among those disciples closest to him, traveling right along with him? Are we more outlying crowd, joining in secondhand, hesitantly? Are we like the Pharisees, seeing somebody doing something and going, whoa, no, we're Presbyterian, we don't do it that way. Trying to put God in a box. Or do we say, that's a little uncomfortable, but wow, I'm impressed. Tell me more. Where are those moments that we realize our faith falters and we can name it and we can say, Lord, I'm sorry that I so quickly wanted to shout crucify him without even realizing it, so that we can proclaim the good news that even knowing that Jesus died on the cross, it was not in vain. Jesus died on the cross so that we might have abundant life. May we go through this week celebrating the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a new, powerful way. May we gather back together to celebrate Jesus' resurrection with true joy in our hearts, and all the while proclaiming praise to God for all that God is doing. Whether we see it or we don't, we know and we proclaim that God is God and God is saving us when no one else can. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.